Blog Talk Radio.
With the Clay and Lorraine Show on KMOVE.
Welcome to KMOVE Radio, radio for people on the move. I'm Lorraine Carasosa, here with Clay Goodman.
Yes, and today's guest on KMOVE Radio is Ro Khanna, who's running for U.S. Congress, 17th District. But before we join Ro, I'd just like to tell you a few things about KMOVE Radio. There's a change in KMOVE Radio, and we're very happy about it. As you know, we've been the talk radio for mobility community, that's a mouthful, for the last 5 years or so, and now we're going to expand into more of a variety show. Mm-hmm. So we have a new Facebook that we'd like for you to like.
You can find our new Facebook at KMOVE Radio.
KMOVE Radio. So, and look out for different kinds of shows. We have a politician today, and we expect to have more. We're going to want to be more involved in local politics coming up. I think, you know, what's going on in the country makes us all want to see if we can do better in this political arena. So we're going to be involved in local politics. We're going to have our Lisa Fisher of the Rolling Stones and Bernard Ballard of the Rolling Stones back on. Bernard's actually going to teach me, Lorraine, how to sing on the air.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's a big job for Bernard. And I promise, Lorraine, we're going to have some country western people on.
Yay.
Yes. And we've reached out to Timothy B. Schmidt. That's for Gavin James. Timothy's with the Eagles. And he's coming to Yoshi's in January, so we're going to have him. And other surprise guests, we're going to really have a good time of KMOVE. So please, again, like us on our Facebook.
Yes, don't forget, KMOVE Radio.
Yes, so let's go to the studio and say hi to Ro.
Great. Welcome to KMOVE Radio, Ro Khanna.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, great. I just want to let our KMOVE listeners know that you are our first politician on KMOVE Radio. And for our listeners who do not know who Mr. Khanna is, he is running for U.S. Congress in California's 17th Congressional District.
Yeah. You know, we've had presidents and vice presidents of pretty large corporations. We've had the co-founder of NVIDIA on, and maybe even more important for me, we've had the backup singers of the Rolling Stones on, but you're our first politician, Ro.
Well, I'm honored. I'm flattered to be in any company mentioned with the Rolling Stones.
And the Rolling Stones, of course. In fact, they're going to be back on. Bernard Fowler is going to teach me to sing on one of our next shows. So.
Yeah, that's great.
Poor Bernard.
So, oh, goodness.
I'm going to quickly here, just give everybody a little background on you. You're a lawyer. I should say attorney. I have trouble saying lawyer. attorney for intellectual properties is your specialty, which you won't have to I don't think we have any business to give him. We don't have those properties here.
Yeah.
And author of a well-read book called Entrepreneurial Nation, Why Manufacturing is Still Key to America's Future.
Nice.
So congratulations on that book, Ro. So you're an attorney, an author, a politician, and a university lecturer. So in your free time, you're learning French and how to play a guitar?
Oh, my goodness.
So you're very, a very busy man.
Well, it's been great. I mean, I enjoy different things. I'm sure everyone is busy here in the Bay Area.
Yes, that's the beauty of living in the Bay Area.
That is true. Yeah. Ro, I'm sure you've learned a great deal about campaigning in your loss to Mike Honda back in 2014. As Clay and I know about lessons learned with KMOVE Radio since 2001, believe me, we've been there and done that
yes.
through the years. Also, you know, as my boys were growing up, they struggled, you know, through things. And, you know, what do parents do? We pick them up, dust them off, and we send them along, hoping they learn life lessons. With that, Ro, share with us what you learned or what you gained from the loss.
You're actually right. I mean, losing or failure is a great teacher, and often it's the most instructive. And for me, what I realized is how local people's concerns are. And while a lot of my platform last cycle was about how do we bring advanced manufacturing jobs back and make America competitive in a global economy, what people really care about on a day-to-day basis is the traffic and how they're going to live here and the cost of living here and the traffic on local roads and how they're going to pay for their kids' college education. And so I've spent the last few years redoubling my efforts to really get to know the local communities, standing up on local issues, immersing myself in every aspect of the community. And I think that's really been the big difference.
Good. You know, I was going to ask you the question, you know, especially in this day and age, why would anybody in the world want to go into politics? Because it's, you know, it can get so ugly. But I did some more reading about you, and your maternal grandfather worked with Gandhi in India and was actually imprisoned in support of human causes, right?
That is right. And he was my early inspiration to care about human rights,
yeah,
and to care about public policy. And, you know, the decisions we make as a nation impact not just our lives, but the lives of billions of people around the world. And my interest in politics originally stemmed from really wanting to stand up for human rights, stand up for economic fairness, and causes of social justice. And that drew me into, originally I wanted to write on the issues and go into that type of legal advocacy. But I think politics is an extraordinary opportunity also to have that impact. And while the presidential cycle this time hasn't been ideal and probably been one of the most negative we've seen in our lifetime, that doesn't mean that the American political system still isn't capable of doing very positive things.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, from reading about your background here, that you have, because your grandfather, you have in your DNA the desire to serve the community.
Right. I am very proud of his service and his both he had an influence on me and his story had an influence on our whole family. And then when I was at University of Chicago as a young student, Barack Obama was a professor there and was running for the state Senate back in the 1990s. And I knocked on doors on his very first campaign. So that gave me a flavor and taste for electoral politics.
Yes. And before I forget, I want to congratulate you. I saw yesterday on Facebook that former President Jimmy Carter supported you.
I was very honored about having President Carter's endorsement. He, you know, he's only endorsed one other candidate in the whole election cycle, and that's Hillary Clinton, but he usually doesn't endorse in congressional or Senate races. And, you know, he reminds people of a time. I mean, I've had even Republicans compliment me or congratulate me on the endorsement, and I think that's because whatever one thinks of President Carter from a policy perspective, he reminds folks of a time where integrity really mattered and civility mattered. And those are the values that I think people want back in politics.
I agree. Yes. Well, it would be nice to vote for candidates that you like and respected and thought, well, he's a nice guy.
Yes. Listens to the people.
Listens to the people. So, Ro, we're going to take a quick little break here. We're going to pull our truck over, take a truck stop. But listeners, don't go away because Lorraine has questions for Ro about education. And we're going to be right back.
Clay and Lorraine Show on KMOVE.
Welcome back, Ro Khanna. Again, we're speaking with our guest today, with Mr. Khanna. Again, he is running for U.S. Congress in California's 17th Congressional District. Ro, I totally agree with you in regards to the importance of having universal preschool education. I remember a while back when my boys were going into preschool and then putting them into kindergarten, the school asked me what preschool did they go to. It wasn't a question, did they go to preschool? It was what preschool did they go to? And I am so glad that I did put them in preschool because they learned such a great deal in preschool, not with the educational part, but with socializing, you know, with the other children and everything. Yes, that I believe that is just truly important for everyone, you know, to have the opportunity to put their children into preschool. And, you know, along with that, and talking about schools, I do now my boys are in college and are both in college. What are your ideas for making college more affordable? I would love to listen to that one.
Yeah, two in college is expensive, huh?
Yeah.
It's a huge issue. I mean, personally, I'm 40 years old, and I've gotten to work for President Obama and at a corporate law firm and teach at Stanford, and I'm still paying off, finally, my student loans. And, you know, President Obama was paying off his student loans a few years before he became president. The average young person is graduating with nearly $27,000 to $30,000 of debt. And to go to a UC now costs almost $30,000 a year.
Yes.
So what I have said is Robert Reich's plan, who teaches actually at Berkeley, is very, very reasonable and doable. And what Reich has said is we ought to backload any of the financial obligations instead of front-loading them. That means a person can go to the UCs for free, but they have to then pay back a percent of their income once they get their first job for 7 to 8 years. So you go to UC Davis or UC Berkeley for free for 4 years. Then when you go graduate and you become a nurse or a computer programming or a firefighter for 8 to 10 years, you pay back a percent of your income. And I think that would be a much fairer way to do it and avoid young people graduating with a huge amount of debt that it continues to accumulate.
Wow, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, you made Lorraine smile.
Yeah.
So I was a high school teacher before we were in this business role. At one time, I think they talked about that if you do an occupation or profession like teaching and other ones that are needed, you would actually even get a bigger discount on your college loans.
That's a great idea as well. And but the key is, you know, when someone's 23, 24, and they have these huge debts, and then it's hard to get a job right out of college sometimes. Sometimes you are switching jobs, but these loan payments continue to come due, and
right.
The interest keeps accumulating.
Mm-hmm.
Under Reich's plan, you don't have massive debt, and you only start paying once you have your first job as a percent of that income. So it's just a much more reasonable way of going about it without graduating with thousands of dollars of debt.
Yes, I like that a lot, and especially, you know, the interest rate. I don't know why college loans have such a high interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, they're higher interest rates than getting a mortgage for a house.
Yeah.
Right.
And we need to, you know, we need, as a country, we need more people going to college. In South Korea, of people 25 to 34, 63% have college degrees. In our country, it's around 40%.
Wow.
So
yes.
We've got to make sure that we're preparing people for the future global economy, and having higher education is a prerequisite for that, whether it's a career technical education or a vocational school or a skill, a trade skill, or college. We have to prepare folks for some form of higher education.
Right.
Yes,
absolutely.
So I have another question for you here. In 2010, Proposition 14 was approved, closely approved, it was approved, and it created the top two primary systems. Without that system, you would have won the Democratic nomination over Mike Honda already.
Right.
Well, so are you in favor of the top two primary system?
I am. You know, you're right. If it weren't for the top two primary, I finished ahead of Mike Honda in June, and I'd be going to Congress, and I wouldn't have to fight another campaign in November.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have been on K-Move Radio. So maybe
But I still think the top two system is good, and the reason I think it's good is it gives every voter a chance to weigh in. And the problem with just fighting a Democratic in a primary and finishing ahead of Mike Honda is that then all the other voters are independents or Republicans. They never get to weigh in here, and a lot of people don't vote in the primary election. Here, you really have to get the votes of everybody, Republican, independent, and Democrats, and a lot of people vote in a presidential election. So I feel like it will give me a much bigger mandate if I win by going through this process. And so I'm a supporter of this top two system, and I think it gets more competition and it gets more people voting.
I think you're right. And I think it's awful big of you to still be in favor of it when, like you say, you've already beat Mike Honda mm-hmm. in the primary. So I have one more real big political question here for you is, give us the pros and the cons of term limits. That keeps coming up in people's conversations.
Sure. Well, the pros are Thomas Jefferson had envisioned that people would go to Congress and then come back and live under the laws they made. Mm-hmm. And that was the idea. And now you have people there 20 years, 30 years. The reelection rate of Congress is 96% as an incumbent. Even though the approval rating is 10%, 96% win reelection. That's almost close to the reelection rate in the Soviet Union at the time of the communist regime. So there's something dysfunctional about our politics that incumbents have such a large advantage because of money and name ID and media exposure. The disadvantage is, of course, you have some great people in Congress, people like Anna Eshoo or Zoe Lofgren, who are doing terrific work and who develop an expertise, and you don't want to just say, okay, we're going to curtail your service right when you're at the peak of your career.
Right.
That's true.
Yes.
So those are the pros and cons. I tend to lean towards having some form of term limits. What we can say it's 12 years or 15 years. Because I think the system has become so dysfunctional. Until we get campaign finance reform or better ways of having challengers get their message out, we can't just have no turnover in Congress. But there is a real downside because there are these you do want people who are experts and who develop that expertise to be able to stay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Exactly. Probably 16 years is probably long enough.
That certainly is. I think that's the case here. But you know, the case that I made against Honda is, you know, he's not Anna Eshoo. I mean, Anna Eshoo has passed 10, 12 substantive bills, and you know, Mike Honda is a nice man, but he's only passed one bill in 16 years. And so I don't think it's really about your length of time as much as what are you going to do, and what have you done in your record. And here in Silicon Valley, in particular, we expect that. We expect people to work hard and deliver for the constituents.
And work quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a fast place. So we have one more question. This is maybe the biggest question of the whole interview, bro. So take a deep breath here.
Okay,
here think about this one. So Lorraine has it for you.
Okay. Ro, if elected, will you promise to continue to be a fan of K-Move Radio?
Well, of course. I'd love to come back with a show whenever you'd have me on, because one of the things that I believe in very strongly is that there is a disconnect between our elected officials and our and constituents. And we've forgotten that people in Washington work for the folks who elect them. And there has to be a greater engagement. And so I have really made a conscious effort to do a tremendous amount of town halls, open town halls, to reply to people personally on Facebook and Twitter, and to come on great radio programs like this and take questions so that people know that they're a member of Congress is someone they can reach, someone that's accountable, someone they can talk to. And so it would actually, you'd be doing me a favor by having me back on when I'm in Congress so I can help share my views and get feedback from the constituency.
That's the deal. You know, actually, we're neighbors. You know, our day job is with S&M Moving Systems here in Fremont, and you live in Fremont, so we can meet at Starbucks.
That's great. Yeah, no, I'm always we're right on the border, my wife and I, Fremont and Milpitas, so we're often at the Pete's in Milpitas or at Suju's Coffee. That's where I do a lot of my meetings.
Oh, great.
Wonderful.
Well, we know how busy you are, and we thank you for spending the time with us.
Yes.
And, yeah. And good luck.
Thank you.
Yes.
For having me on.
All right. Thank you, Ro.
Thank you.
Take care.
And don't forget to like us on Facebook under K-Move Radio to be in the know on The Clay and Lorraine Show. Thank you for listening to K-Move Radio, and God bless.
Clay and Lorraine Show on K-Move. Ooh.